Good morning. Thank you for your time today. My name is Kevin Armstrong. I'm an agronomist with John Deere. I wanted to speak a little bit today on our behalf about what we call job performance. I'm a speaker. I'm by no means the only person. In fact, I'm the voice for a much broader team that we have working on the intersection of agronomy and equipment solutions. I want to point out a few of those folks to you. First, we have John Mann. He's our director of corporate agronomy. And corporate agronomy inside of Deere means it's a centralized hub, which will make sense here in about a minute. So this is John Mann. Chad Yago provides business leadership. Like I said, it's a central hub. We don't only just get down to looking at general agronomy. We actually look at individual crops. So Keith Saltweedle, Chris Foster, they manage our corn, soybean, and our small grains team. Dan Hartsock is business leadership on our agronomy team. And then keep in mind our agronomy team's not only what we would say is local here in the U.S., Canada, for instance. It also broadens out to Brazil. Daniel Flores leads that team, and then Karsten Struve leads our team over in Europe, and specifically in Germany. So that's a lot of our leadership. It's worldwide. We also have, I'll skip this guy here. We have Sue Gray. She's an agronomist in our corporate group. We have Brad Van de Woesting, and we have many folks represented here today. So Brad leads our effort in the corn and soybean group. Tom Mueller, he's our data scientist. So he works actually in a data analytics group that we have inside of Deere, but also is embedded in our agronomy team. We have Yancey Wright, who's our small grains agronomist. Eric Coronel is an agronomist on our corporate team. And then we're also really lucky to have Rachel Halbach. So she's an agronomist on Hagee, but she also works on our team as well. And then also we have two consultants, Larry Hendrickson and Andy Siebert. They tried to retire, but like any good agronomist, you don't retire for very long. So they're on our team as well. Keep in mind, it's global. So John Deere, it's not just U.S., it's completely global. So here, when I say some of those folks working in corn, soybeans, small grains, here's what we think, and we kind of break the world into different regions. This is what we refer to as one region here. In John Deere, we have Brazil really looking, I said soybeans, we also look at sugarcane, small grains over here in Germany and also Eastern Europe. And then also keep in mind we have India with rice as well. So that's what I would say is our family. What is it that we actually work on? This is how we kind of define our responsibilities into these three buckets, and I'll give you a brief overview. So one is we say machine optimization. This would be like parts. This would be individual components of our machines. We think about, I'll skip, you go to agronomy decisions. This would be things like seed, fertilizer, chemical inputs, for example. And then we get to this middle bucket, which is where I would say that a lot of our team works in, which is job optimization. So this is the intersection not only of agronomy, but what's the influence of our equipment on agronomy, and how does that influence future performance as we move along? We also think about it in the terms of the crop production system. So it's not just looking at a product specifically. So for example, ExactEmerge as a planter for us, right? We can look at it in this column here, or we can look at it as, you know, how does tillage affect performance of the planter subsequently? How does that relate to the whole crop production system? So we really think about it as an integrated approach. The reason for that is really this picture, and I've got two pictures to show you. One, this is about, I say it's 14.4 megagrams per year, lower 200 bushel per acre yield level. What we often see in fields like this is a lot of variability. You see these rows, so this shows, this is the yield of the row. This is how many missing plants. When you see a gap here, this is literally no plant was there. When I say a missing plant, these gaps are actually barren plants. Missing plants are actually not included in the picture because they would stretch the picture out too far. But the point is that you see a lot of variability between ears, missing ears, relatively barren ears. When you start getting closer to like 300 bushel per acre level, you start seeing stuff that's a lot more consistent. So the point that I want to make is that it's just not about making a really big ear a little bit bigger. It's about making every ear equal and have an equal opportunity in terms of size. So there's different ways to bring the yield bar up. It's make the big plants bigger or try to even out. And what we often see is that equipment variability has a role in that. And we think we have a play in improving plant-to-plant variability, not just in corn as an example, but other crops as well. So how does that relate to soil science? That's a brief overview. When we think about soil science, we really think in two different aspects for us. One is what I would say the customer level. So my John Deere Operations Center has been mentioned a couple times in previous talks. We think about it as actually bringing information through this pipeline. So for example, like I said, the seed, the chemical, the fertilizer, customers are able to bring in information, whether it be a prescription file on nitrogen or any other. We can use soils as a baseline. A third party can use that, make those prescriptions, feed that through Operations Center, go through a dealer, and then get to the customer. And then we have a whole pipeline, like I said, going through that. And that also connects into our broader ecosystem of fleet monitoring, job management, and then also setting up an analyze. So based on the prescriptions, how did that affect your yields year to year? So that's the one slide I have at kind of the My John Deere operations level. What I wanted to talk a little bit more today was about more almost at the product level. So it's not just like the operations center. We start getting down to individual products. So Field Connect, our soil moisture probe, TrueSet, our way to engage variable tillage within a field, and then we also have ExactEmerge, which is able to, I would say, map downforce reactivity of soil back and forth. So these are ways, when I say this, I look at this as a way of being able to provide data to the broader soil science community. This is some of our engagement platforms. So starting with Field Connect, I'm assuming that not many folks, some of you have worked with this, some of you have not. It's our soil moisture probe. It's used to monitor moisture levels. Typically in ag, it's about a meter, and it's got 5 capacitance sensors on it that's measuring soil moisture levels. We have a deeper version that's used more for vineyards. Like I said, we have different sensors, different depths, very heavy use in irrigation management. It helps eliminate overwatering, potential runoff. Some of the newer additions to Field Connect, we have custom alerts for potential disease, growing degree accumulation. You can see we even have weather stations to be put on top as well. Soil moisture changes, and then also temperature changes as well. And what's nice, a recent addition, is we have API for data export. So there's different ways to get data out to use in your different programs. One example I wanted to give you for context, so what does Field Connect give you? This is a project that we had several years ago, actually, with University of Lincoln in Nebraska, specifically Brian Weinhold, was looking at Field Connect placement in a field. So typically, many growers have one or two of these in a given field or a given area, region of influence. So it's important to know where you place these, and oftentimes you look for the middle ground as kind of a good area to do that. But there's also concern about, you know, what if you place it in a high ridge area or a low area? How does that inform differences that you see? So in this example, what Field Connect gave us was that this shows on the bottom red, green, and blue. This is area of the landscape. So we've color-coded landscape with lines on the graphs, same with these are two different fields. And what you see is pretty big differences between where you're at on the landscape and what the moisture probe is telling you, right? So, but the point to take is that what the probe can give you, these are individual lines. Each one would be like an average across the entire probe. So you get soil moisture probe to minutes level. You can also get the data at the individual sensor level as well. So it's really, really helpful when trying to understand soil moisture differences throughout time in the soil. The other product that I mentioned was TrueSet. So this is the way we are able to make on-the-go depth adjustments with our tillage tools. It actually executes prescriptions and documents the tillage operation for us. So if you have here, you can, like a field cultivator, for instance, you can literally independently control whether it's rolling baskets or the discs, and set that as you go through differential residue or management conditions. So that can be residue, that can be higher landscape, lower landscape, lighter, darker soils, but it's a way that we're able to engage cropping systems differentially throughout the fields. And then also, obviously, you get the data, you've got that documented of the differential tillage, then you're able to look at that, whether it impacts emergence or subsequent yield differences. Another project I wanted to talk a little bit about, this is one that we talked about last year, it's seeding depth evaluation. So I've talked two products, what the data will give you. This is a good example of how we look at products that could be out there or that people are talking about in terms of how our machinery impacts different agronomy considerations, and one of those is seed depth, and this is corn seed depth. So we worked with University of Illinois. In particular, Eric Cornell was our PhD student on the project. He's with us here today. And we looked at literally it's 1, 2, and 3 inches across several years in different locations. And then looked at harvest yield to see what effect does differential seeding depth have on fields. Here's an example of how we ran the study. So we tried our hardest to try to get different landscape areas, whether it's higher ridge or low lying, and see does it make sense to plant shallower on some areas, deeper on others, and what effects do we see. It's, Peter mentioned it's important to understand your spatial variability when trying to do this. Right now, I want to comment, you know, seeding depth, it's something that it's not actuated, so it's not on the go across the industry. If you're a farmer and you want to do it, you get out of the back of your planter and you do it the hard way. So this is a project that we're looking at, you know, what could be down the road, for instance. So some of the examples, I'll give you two, showing just two different outcomes. One is actually planting shallower. So this was a site up in northern Indiana that we had. Background is landscape, red is high, blue is low. We tried to be cute and color code this gray and kind of a white. So what this means is that as compared to a normal depth, so if a farmer wanted to plant at 2 inches, that would be the standard. So now the decision that you're making is, are you going shallower or are you going deeper? So the darker means that here would be going shallower was a good idea. The white would mean going shallower was a really bad idea. And it just so happens it happens to correspond to different aspects of the topography. So when I say good idea, here's 1 inch beating 2 inch in wetter zones. Here's a really bad idea, putting shallow seed in a really dry zone. So those are types of things. We weren't able to change it on the go, so you had to have the strip be one or the other, right? So you had these instances where it was good, bad. But it points out that there's regions in the field that perhaps 1 inch or the ability to do that would make sense. Opposite side, here's an example where 3 inch made sense. So there was areas of this field out in western Iowa where we're planting deeper and drier zones. Had an effect. We saw that probably it was due to temperatures after planting, maybe even getting down to sufficient moisture for germination. So we see aspects, I would say by no means is it something that we see all the time consistently, but there's aspects that potentially warrant future considerations when looking at these types of interactions between agronomy and equipment. And one more slide I wanted to share with you. So some of that is at the individual product level, kind of like Frank mentioned. The important aspect, there's individual products, but then there's also thinking about it as an overall ecosystem. And another project that we ran was more of an analytical one. It was actually with the Department of Civil Environmental Engineering at Illinois and also the computing center there as well. And then we collaborated with a central Iowa grower. But what we did is we kind of looked at what we call like a big data approach. So it's taking all of the data accumulated throughout growing seasons and then trying to understand what are influences of corn yield, okay? So what this chart represents is a ranking of what are aspects or factors that matter in terms of influencing corn yield, all right? So what this means is that the number one effect, and this is across an entire farm, across multiple fields, when you planted had a really big effect in determining your end of the year crop yield or corn yield in this case. Landscape, elevation, relative elevation had an effect. These PV1, these are vegetative emergence and V1. So depending when crop reached that stage, probably subsequent rain had an effect. So you kind of have that complex ecosystem of when did the crop come up, when did development, what rains did it hit. You start pulling out those types of factors. But what's interesting, and I really wanted to leave you on this point, is that a lot of the things in here are agronomy. So here's where sand, silt, clay, our typical soil composition metrics are here. You start seeing things like here's downforce margin. So this would be downforce on a planter or seed spacing. So now we start getting into equipment performance measures. So they start feeding into this equation as well. And oftentimes we see, depending on settings and the ability to manage these, they have almost just as much influence on outcomes in terms of yield as your typical sand, silt, and clay would as well. So I want to leave you with that aspect. Keep in mind that there's a lot of opportunity with equipment as there is just with some of the typical soil science and even agronomy measures that we use today. think that's my last slide. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thanks, Kevin. Yes.
We have time. This is your last slide. Last slide, you showed that how the field is influenced by certain factors. Have you had any in-season plant parameters to involve in this comparison, relatively relying on just the planting date and emergence?
Good. Great question. So for this study, for the equipment, this one, we wouldn't have any in-season. Other work we've done, we have looked at in-season, so like stalk diameters, plant heights, we've looked at those as well. Completely different project. We've been able to link those back to other equipment performance measures, and we do see some relationship, plant-to-plant variability, and trying like those previous slides, we see that it's important to achieve that. But in terms of this project, this would only be yield for this one. Yes, sir. Good, great question. So the future considerations, I'll say that we're always out there looking, and things that I can't say are present are always happening as well. I think the one thing that the industry and that we're really working towards is smart equipment, and I think that was mentioned in previous examples as well. So helping the operator make decisions, like for instance, something I didn't show on here would be combine adjustments with our new harvester. So being able to, it's hard to keep the concave settings perfect, it's hard to keep all the settings, but being able to do that intelligently, those are some of the things that we're trying to do to help, that's saving yield at the end, but really it's about smarter equipment, and I think even as an industry, we're even moving towards more and more automation to make those decisions.
More questions?
They can be used anywhere. So for it's we get a lot of take rate and irrigated area. But even I'm from Champaign and Illinois grad too. So there's not many irrigated sites in eastern Illinois. So we actually have a fair amount of Field Connect probes out there as well. So that you get into a area that you're not necessarily. What's nice about the irrigation is you can control what you see. When you don't have irrigation, you can't control it, but you can at least monitor. So but we do see those in those areas as well.
Perfect. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.